Let's read together Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have the beginning of Zechariah's first prophetic burden or oracle. Here we have a great contrast made between Alexander the Great of Greece and the coming Messiah of Israel. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 8. The burden of the word of the Lord against the land of Hadrach and Damascus, its resting place, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord. Also against Hamath, which borders on it, and against Tyre and Sidon, though they are very wise. For Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like the dust, and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. Ashkelon shall see it in fear. Gaza also shall be very sorrowful, and Ekron, where he dried up her expectation. The king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. A mixed race shall settle in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. I will take away the blood from his mouth, and the abominations from between his teeth. But he who remains, even he shall be for our God, and shall be like a leader in Judah, and Ekron like a Jebusite. I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. No more shall an oppressor pass through them, for now I have seen with my eyes. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Zechariah 9, with some background notes. The last three books of the Old Testament, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are all post-exilic minor prophets. They are called minor prophets because they are smaller books. By post-exilic minor prophets, we mean that Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi were all written after Israel's 70-year captivity in Babylon. When the Jews returned from their captivity under the leadership of Zerubbabel in 538 BC, they began to rebuild the temple. Remember, the temple had been built by Solomon but destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. At first, the rebuilding of the house of the Lord proceeded as planned. But then the people got discouraged and they quit building. So God raised up Haggai and Zechariah, prophets of the Lord, to minister to the people and motivate the people to finish the job of rebuilding the temple. It worked. The people returned to the work of rebuilding the house of the Lord, and the rebuilt temple was completed in 516 BC. So in a series of prophetic visions, messages, and burdens or oracles, Zechariah encouraged the people in view of the great future that was in store for the nation of Israel. Here in chapter 9, Israel is encouraged because it is predicted that God's house will be protected from the conquests of Alexander the Great, and Israel will be blessed with the coming of her Messiah and his universal kingdom. Well, there's a lot more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, Alexander the Great would come as a conquering hero. Alexander the Great would come as a conquering hero, verses 1 through 8. In these verses that we just read, we can trace the march that Alexander the Great of Greece would take in 332 BC as he conquered Syria, verses 1 and 2, Phoenicia, verses 2 through 4, and Philistia, verses 5 through 7. In reference to Alexander the Great's conquest of Tyre, we read in verses 3 and 4, "For Tyre built herself a tower, heaped up silver like the dust, and gold like the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out. He will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire." It all came true in history, just as predicted here. Alexander the Great besieged the island fortress city of Tyre for 6 months and finally conquered it by building a causeway out from the mainland. And he made this causeway out of the debris from the ruins of the destroyed mainland city of Tyre. These details of Tyre's demise were also predicted by the prophet Ezekiel more than 200 years before the event. In Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 12 through 14, After the destruction of Tyre, Alexander the Great moved on to conquer the cities of the Philistines: Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, Ashdod, as we can see here in verses 5 through 7 of Zechariah 9. God used Alexander the Great to judge the idolatrous practices of the Philistines, as we see here in verse 7. I will take away the blood from his mouth and the abominations from between his teeth. This refers to the idolatry of the Philistines. Now, there is a note of grace at the end of verse 7. It is predicted here that a remnant of the Philistines would turn to the Lord and be blessed in Israel. The end of verse 7. But he who remains, even he shall be for our God and shall be like a leader in Judah, and Ekron like a Jebusite. Remember, a number of Jebusites lived in the midst of Israel. The complete fulfillment of this promise, we believe, awaits the return of Christ. Now in verse 8, there is the promise to the Jewish remnant who have returned from captivity and are rebuilding the temple that this house of the Lord would be protected by the Lord himself. Verse 8, I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. Indeed, Alexander the Great did not conquer Jerusalem and did not destroy the temple, even though he had the chance more than once. Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote that when Alexander the Great saw the high priest of Israel in his white priestly garments standing at the gates of Jerusalem, he was reminded of a vision that he had said was given to him by God. Now he realized that it was the God of the Jews who had sent the vision. Thus he passed by Jerusalem and did not destroy the temple on his way to and from conquests in Egypt in fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, whether or not Josephus is right about the dream or the vision of Alexander the Great, we don't know. But in any case, this prophecy of the first part of verse 8 here was fulfilled. It looks like the last part of verse 8 awaits complete fulfillment when the Lord returns. Then indeed, Jerusalem will never again be invaded by enemy forces. So we've seen in these first 8 verses of Zechariah 9 a number of precise prophecies fulfilled by the conquest of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great came as a conquering hero. But now, doctrinal point number 2. Jesus the Greater would come as a humble servant. Jesus the Greater would come as a humble servant. Verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. There is no doubt that the Spirit of God placed this messianic passage in direct contrast with what is said about Alexander the Great. And what a contrast. Alexander the Great came as a conquering hero, but Jesus the Greater came as a humble servant. Alexander the Great came riding a mighty stallion. Jesus the Greater came riding a lowly donkey. Alexander the Great came as rich and powerful. Jesus the Greater came as poor and meek. Alexander the Great came with fear and dread. Jesus the Greater came with joy and peace. Alexander the Great came as a slayer of his foes. Jesus the Greater came as a savior of his foes. Alexander the Great came as a foreign king. Jesus the Greater came as the rightful king, Israel's Messiah. Both Alexander and Jesus died at age 33. Alexander the Great as a burned-out war hero. Jesus the Greater as the savior of the world. What a contrast. And no wonder. Alexander the Great was only a man. Jesus the Greater is God himself. In verses 9 and 10, Both comings of the Lord Jesus are in view. In verse 9, we see his first coming. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This prophecy, of course, was fulfilled at the time of our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 5. Now in verse 10 of Zechariah 9, the Lord's second coming is in view. When the Lord Jesus returns to this earth to set up his universal kingdom of peace, all instruments of war will be removed in a just disarmament. This is the time spoken of by the prophets Isaiah and Micah. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Isaiah 2:4 and Micah 4:3. This messianic kingdom is not the church now, but the millennial kingdom of Christ to come in the future. We will reign with Christ in that millennial kingdom. Revelation 20, verse 4, says that believers will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. What a contrast to Alexander the Great and his empire. Alexander the Great would come as a conquering hero, but Jesus the Greater would come as a humble servant. What about practical application? Don't practice the open and point method of biblical guidance. Don't practice the open and point method of biblical guidance. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but did you ever do that? I mean, you're looking for a word from the Lord, or you have a decision to make, so you just open the Bible blindly and point to a verse. That can be dangerous. You could pull Scripture way out of context by doing something like this. Now, I'm not saying that God has never worked through this method, but that is not the way to use the Bible. Let me tell you a true story. A young woman in her late 30s wanted to get married, but no Christian men were available or interested. She was very discouraged, so she went to the Bible and used the open and point method. Her finger landed on Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. True story. She was very happy because she believed that God had given her a promise, that her Prince Charming was right there on the horizon, and soon she would meet the man of God's choice for her life. Well, more mature Christians had to inform her that this was really bad hermeneutics. You can't take messianic prophecies and apply them to yourself. This is pulling Scripture way out of its context. And the fact that some guy rode into the church parking lot on a horse and she married him does not make it right. No, that's not part of the story. That's only apocryphal additions here. Listen. God does use the Bible to guide us in making decisions, but don't practice the open and point method of biblical guidance.